Welcome to Get Funded, the show that provides everything you need to get investors as excited about your tech startup as you are. With your guide, Stuart Prestedge. Have you ever had an idea for an outstanding product that nobody wanted? While nothing is guaranteed in business, this episode explores how to validate your idea as quickly as possible.
Well, because I like creating software, there have been a number of times when I've created software just because I want to or just because I think, you know, so not, again, not taking my own advice, but my business partner that I mentioned of 30 years, he's very, very good at understanding what people need and want. So we were an absolutely great team. I'll give you an example. I was on holiday, 2008. He phones me up. How many words is this, Stu? There's no spreadsheet for the iPhone. Seven words. Those seven words turned into an eight-figure business. That was it. I said, give me a week. So I created a spreadsheet engine. He's a very intelligent guy. He can write software. He created the sort of front end. We launched the spreadsheet, took off. We expanded it into, you know, and eventually sold that business. He kept his ear to the ground. I've always been very insular. He's very much aware of everything. You know, I've left to my own devices. I would completely go into myself, I think. So that's not healthy, but I get all sorts of people. Plus, some people have kind of like got what I consider to be quite a good product, even though they call it MVP. Some people who have nothing at all and everywhere in between. And as I say, it's my job to maximize your chances of getting investment, maximize your chances of getting success, and minimizing the time to investment. So wherever you're at, I'll accept that. And if there are things that I think you need to do, I'll, you know, that's either part of my training or part of the process they go through, or I just advise them in an ad hoc way. You know, if there are things that they definitely should do. Building a product and having users or paying users even isn't strictly needed to get funding, but you do need traction of some sort. You need some, and I say confidence, not evidence, but something that gives you and investors confidence. And I say to founders, it's not just about giving the investor confidence, it's about giving you the confidence. No point pursuing a business if it's not going to make money. Now, there are ways that you can sell stuff before you've got a product. You know, and I saw a great articulation of this yesterday, and it's, you know, part of mine is like, oh, this is great, have you seen this guy, you know what he's saying? I was like, yeah, I've been saying this for decades, but yes, he's right. But he articulated it really well. He's like, when you've got a product and you sell it, typically you go and you do a demo of the product, and people do, you know, they see a demo and you sell it on the demo. Okay, show me this, show me, it doesn't make any sense. So don't make the product, make the demo. Don't make your MVP, because, you know, that still takes time and money. You don't need to make MVP. You just make a demo, whatever that is. You know, that could be Figma wireframes, it could be a video with, you know, stuff, it could be a sort of no code low code solution, whatever. Make a demo and sell that. I say to clients, you know, like, if you can make a prototype, you know, a Figma prototype or a concierge solution, where it's kind of, I don't want to say cobbled together, but I don't know how else to say, you know, cobbled together third party software that actually solves the problem for people. Get them paying you. At least you've proven then that there is a problem and they're prepared to pay for it, and you've got some money coming in. That's where founders really struggle. You know, I've been told that's one of my superpowers, is to take complex stuff and explain it extremely clearly. You know, I've lost count the number of times I've spoken to, you know, one founder, for example. I said, oh, just very briefly tell me your concept. And like 10 minutes later, he was still talking. And I said, okay. And I gave it back to him in one sentence. And he went, can I use that? It's like, yes. You do this to help these people to solve this problem. But when I started out, there was no such thing as the web. There was no such thing as e-commerce. You know, we had one of the first e-commerce sites where people could go online and click and pay money. But when we started out, people would send us checks and we'd send them floppy disks. That's how we started. And then the web came in 94, 95, I think. And then so we created a website, and we created a dynamic website. And they didn't exist at the time, you know, website that changed based on, and we won an award for that, actually. We did. We won an award for that website. Then, yes, so then e-commerce came in, and then Google Ads came in. So, you know, you could like market it online. You didn't have to market it in magazines. And I've already mentioned about, you know, marketing our software that way and, you know, throwing money into it and getting money out. Then, of course, the App Store, 2008, you know, mobile came. You know, we were dabbling with mobile, you know, the old Scion Organizer. And so we had software that running on the Scion Organizer that would synchronize your diary and stuff with our big solution. Then you had the Compaq iPack and these first early PDAs with a little pencil. So we were dabbling with that. But then, of course, the iPhone came out and then the App Store came out. That's when things really took off in terms of mobile. Then the iPad came out, you know, 2010 or something. So then we were really sort of into that. You know, so mobile devices became a big thing around then. SaaS, of course, you know, software as a service rather than software downloaded onto your computer. That we pioneered that as well. We had our SoftTalk Share server was a piece of software running on a server, but there was no such thing as cloud, of course. It was running on your server, but it served, you know, it acted like the cloud. It acted like a SaaS, software as a solution, because you could have multiple tenants and then we would run it on our server. So we sort of like, you know, around then, and then the cloud came out and yeah, things have changed massively. In fact, I registered the domain name CardboardCTO because very often when you're either solving a problem or thinking strategically, if you just explain it to somebody, it comes clear to you. Either the solution or the decision comes clear to you. So why not just do it to a cardboard cutout?
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Get Funded. Are you ready for further support? To validate your startup idea and receive hands-on help from Stuart himself, head to softwarestartupspecialist.com/start. Please also leave us a rating and review in your favorite podcast app and share this episode with a friend. See you next time.